In his news conference last week, President Obama signaled that the Pentagon would review a policy banning media coverage of the arrival of military caskets at Dover Air Force Base. The policy has remained in effect since 1991, when President George H.W. Bush anticipated many casualties in the Persian Gulf War. Critics of the camera ban say the American public has a right to see the human cost of war, but any change in policy must take into account the emotional cost to military families as well. Newsweek's John Barry happened to see the arrival of one group of coffins, and he argues that there's a way to do both. Do you think the media ban should be lifted? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. John Barry joins us by phone from the offices of Newsweek, where he's a national security correspondent. Welcome to the program, John.
Good to be with you.
Now, John, you witnessed the arrival of coffins at the Dover Air Base. Can you describe the scene, what it was like?
Yes, it was. I saw it by accident. I was there for, it was a couple of years ago, and I was there for a session, a briefing on in another part of the base. And the senior Air Force officer who was with me said there was an aircraft arriving with bodies, and he had never seen what happened, and he wanted to see it. Would I have to go with him? It would have to be off the record. And so I said fine, so I went with him. And it was not really a ceremony as such at all. What happened was that the plane was there, and the nose was lifted up, and the coffins were coming down, the caskets were coming down the ramp, covered with the national flag, and were then wheeled one by one, surrounded by an honor guard and with a chaplain, were wheeled in sort of to a line next to a row of hearses. There were some knots of civilians there. My recollection is there was civilians for each coffin, but I'm told that must be untrue because most families don't go to Dover. And nevertheless, there were a small knot of civilians. A couple were crying, a couple of old people were crying. With great precision, but in silence, the coffins were loaded into the hearses one by one, and the hearses drew away. And the civilians dispersed with their military escorts and so on.
Now, you wrote that
I found it a very moving and very private ceremony, and I wasn't sure that I had to think that flashbulbs and TV cameras would probably have disturbed it.
Yeah, you said you yourself, even though you weren't taking pictures, you were just standing there watching it, you felt like an intruder. Why did you feel like an intruder?
Because I thought it was a private moment of considerable emotion for all the people involved, including obviously the military. I mean, this was the military handling their fellow dead, and I felt I was intruding into something which was, as I say, private and strangely intimate. I mean, it was on this airfield, you know, acres of concrete, but it was a strangely intimate scene.
Now, what's the history of this? Was this always handled in this way? Always handled privately like this?
No, it was, as you said in your intro, it was President George H.W. Bush who in February 1991, on the eve of ground combat in the first Gulf War, decreed that there shouldn't be photographs of the caskets arriving at Dover. Everyone since then has said, oh, this was because President Bush was piqued about some television coverage. But I asked around last week among people who'd been in the Pentagon back in 91 and was told that wasn't true. That what actually happened was that it was the military who were worried because they said, look, the arrival at Dover is essentially a transfer process for us, and if there are a lot of these bodies in caskets, then you have to realize that there are pallets and pickup trucks and, you know, it's semi-industrial. And if you want the public to see this, then we will have to turn it into more of a ceremonial. And so George Bush agreed with the military view that it was better that this essentially technical transfer process, as the military saw it, was kept private.
Well, of course, this became very political during the war in Iraq because there was a strong feeling among many that this service was closed to the public in order to hide the casualties of that war. So it became a very...
Yes, I mean, that's right. It became highly political. I'm not at all sure that was the reason why, you know, Dover was closed. But it obviously has become a symbol. The argument I make in the Newsweek piece is that I don't think that the Dover issue, if you like, can be resolved at Dover. I mean, I think there are two separate questions at odds here. And one is, how should the arrival of the caskets at Dover best be handled? And that poses difficult problems to do with the families, which we can go into.
Yeah.
But the other, which I think is deeper, is how does America find a way of giving a communal salute and recognition to the dead? And I point to Canada as being a possible model that might be thought about for this.
Let me ask you about that first. What do they do in Canada, and why do you see that as an alternative?
Well, the point about Dover is that it's essentially a big cargo base. It's the United States Air Force's biggest cargo base on the East Coast. And it also happens to be where the military mortuary on the East Coast is. And so those hearses that I mentioned as driving off basically don't drive more than about a mile. I mean, they drive to the mortuary. And the bodies arrive at Dover in transfer caskets, as they're called, which are basically tin boxes, and their bodies are packed in ice. And they arrive pretty much in the state in which they were when they were picked up from the battlefield. And it's in the mortuary that these bodies are identified definitively and are tidied up and prepared for burial and then put into caskets. Yeah? And then an escorting officer flies with these caskets, one officer per casket, flies with the body to the family, delivers the body to the family, and stays with them through the funeral. And so for the military, the ceremonial comes at the graveside of each person. And there's a military funeral, the military supply, the buglers and the salutes and so on. What there isn't is any sort of public recognition. And Canada takes an accident of geography and uses that well. What happens in Canada is that the bodies arrive, Canadian dead, arrive at a military airfield at Trenton, and then drive about 100 miles to Toronto, where the mortuary is, and where the autopsies are done in the Forensic Institute in Toronto. And what's happened, sort of spontaneously, is that 100-mile stretch of Highway 401 between Trenton and Toronto, has become the place where people, citizens who choose to salute the bodies as they pass in the hearses. And it's become a really big thing in Canada. I mean, it's the highway's closed as the cortege of hearses passes. Hundreds, sometimes thousands of people line up beside the road. The overpasses have fire engines and ambulances and police cars with lights flashing and their members standing on the overpasses saluting. It's now become officially called the Highway of Heroes, this 100-mile stretch.
All right. We're going to take a call now from James in San Antonio, Texas. James, go ahead.
Yes. I come from a military family. Both grandfathers served. My father, three uncles, and my cousin is now at West Point. And all of them seem to share, many of them have seen combat, and they seem to share the view that one of the reasons we're more inclined to go on with these wars without end is because we don't really see the effects. We don't see the coffins. We don't see the children, whose bodies are splayed apart. And I just wanted to interject that. And if we're going to fight wars, we need to see the totality of how disgusting it is. And these are military people who are espousing this. And I'll take the comments off here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, James. What is your reaction to that, John?
I think what he says is shared by many military families. The problem is it isn't shared by all military families. And there is a technical problem associated with Dover, which is this, that the military, or the army certainly, and the other military services try to do as well, but the army does particularly well, the army reckons to get the bodies of the fallen back from the battlefield to Dover in 2 days. And so the problem is that if the bodies are going to be named as they come through Dover, then a lot of the families are going to want to be there. But that means that what you're doing is wrenching the families from the circle of their loved ones and their communities scattered across America, and bringing them to Dover just at the moment when they actually need to stay within the comfort of their family circle. So it's probably not a very humane idea.
All right, let's take another call now. We're going to go to Rich, and he's calling from Sunman, Indiana. Hi, Rich.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would like to say that I was stationed at Hickam Field during the end of the Vietnam War, and I parked a good many 141s with the dead coming back from Vietnam. And I think that was one thing that brought a quicker end to the war, was when they were shown and their names were given on the 6 o'clock news. And I was also stationed at Dover Air Force Base during the first Gulf War, and I parked some of those C-5s bringing the dead back. And I think their names should be on the television, and people should see what the cost of war really is. Right now, we're worried about our economic situation, but we're still bringing back the dead, and nobody cares. And I think it should be on, and people should see what's happening. And that's how I feel.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Rich. That's a very passionate response
yes,
to this.
And I think he's entirely right that people should see the cost. It's not entirely true, of course, that people will see the cost. I mean, the truth is that the media don't show bodies of Americans in the field. And on the rare occasions when the media have, as for instance when virtually everyone showed photographs of the soldier being dragged, soldier in Mogadishu being dragged through the streets after a Black Hawk Down incident, there was outrage and the media were pretty sharply told not to show those images. So it isn't true that Americans rarely see the true cost of war. But certainly when it comes to coffins, yes, I mean, I agree. My own solution, which I make in Newsweek, is that perhaps the sensible thing to do is to bring the bodies, the coffins, into Andrews, which is just to the east of the nation's capital, and have processions rather like the Canadian procession, have a cortege of hearses that passes through the centre of the city and then makes its way on the 100 miles or so to Dover Mortuary.
Yeah.
That would provide an opportunity for public salute of the heroes.
John Barry is a national security correspondent with Newsweek, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Tom in Cincinnati. Hi, Tom. Tom, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air, and you have to turn your radio down in order to work.
Sorry. I left the room. I was just saying, in 2006, we went and picked up my brother at Dover, and there's six kids, and I think as for paparazzi, I don't think that would be a good idea, but for a record, to have a video camera there, a good television documentary, maybe, camera stationary, that...
So you're saying perhaps a limited media coverage?
Well, yes, I guess that would be it, but it would also still be public record, but more in a historical documentary sort of way.
Okay.
But not a Entertainment Tonight sensational story.
Right. All right. Thanks so much for your call, Tom.
Well, thank you.
All right. We're going to go to Kevin, who's calling from New York now. Kevin, go ahead.
Yes. I'm a veteran both of Vietnam and of the first Gulf War, and I had the unfortunate duty to escort my brother home from Dover, who was killed in Vietnam. And I think it's very, very important for the American people to know the cost of these forays into foreign countries. I think the bodies in the caskets with flags draped on them make a bigger statement than these things on the news at the end of the night with the names on them. I think it's very, very important that people realize the cost of war, not only in death, but in maimed bodies.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much for calling, Kevin.
Yeah.
Interesting to me, John, that we're hearing from some family members who feel pretty strongly that this should be shown.
Yes, it seems to me to be a very, very difficult and very emotional question. I think there's no doubt that some form of public recognition needs to be made. I confess to being not cynical, I hope, but slightly dubious about what the effects would be of showing or of providing film clip of, let us say, four coffins at a time arriving at Dover, these would be anonymous. These, I think, would have to be anonymous costumes because of the family problems, as I said. I mean, I wonder how... I actually do wonder how many times, you know, the TV networks would send crews out to Dover to film another arrival. And I do wonder how many times we would actually see, you know, the evening news with... And today there were another four coffins arriving. I actually think it's unlikely that that would last very long. So I'm not quite sure what, although in theory, recording the arrivals at Dover is putting these on the public record. I think in practice the public record would prove to be pretty flimsy.
We have another email here from someone in the military or whose husband is in the military. Courtney from Columbus, Ohio, writes, as someone who's preparing to marry, she's engaged to someone in the military, marry a captain in the Army and have already seen and experienced the sacrifices he and his family have had to make, heaven forbid something happened to him, I would want everyone to see the ultimate sacrifice he made. I am proud of his service and would want his fellow American citizens to know the price he and his fellow soldiers have paid. If the press were to ask, I would want my future husband recognized. And thanks for discussing this. And I'm just wondering, John, as a national security correspondent, I mean, do you think that President Obama would have more difficulty, for instance, in justifying a surge in Afghanistan if, in fact, the public did see increased fatalities as a result of showing photographs and video of these arrivals?
I suspect not. There's been a fair number of studies of this, and it isn't true that the American public are casualty averse, quote unquote. It is true that the American public doesn't like to see its citizens' lives expended for no value. But the issue then is whether the president can justify the war.
Thanks, John. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. John Barry joined us from a studio at the offices of Newsweek, where he is national security correspondent. Join us tomorrow for a discussion with Richard Florida about the geography of recession. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.